All across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Like Stevie Ray Vaughan sings in this song, you feel stranded, caught in the crossfire, you have a home here on Up North News Radio. Good morning, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. It's Thursday, March 14th. March 14th, so people being clever with numbers, you know, 3.14, it's Pi Day. So that's my question for you to start things off. What's your favorite pie? What flavor? More importantly, where do you get the best pie? We've asked that on social media a few times over the years, and we'd like to ask it right here on our text line as well and on our Facebook pages. So in honor of Pi Day, favorite pie, favorite place to get pie, either one of those, just send us a little text with the answer 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or if you are watching on one of the many Facebook pages, just put a comment there. We'll see it and maybe talk about pie. We're even going to ask Greg Bach in a minute. I know what he won't say. He won't say coconut cream, will you? Good morning. 2 days in a row, I've mentioned coconut.
Disgusting.
Not poke the bear like that.
You know, I have access to sounds here that can make you look like a fool, Kreitlow.
I can look like a fool just fine on my own. Thank you very much.
Fair point.
Coming up on the program this morning, Joe Zepecki will be here in our first hour. Senator Jeff Smith in our second hour, talking about what the legislature got done, what they didn't get done, and why the heck they're done working for the year already. You're paying them for the whole year, and they're home campaigning. And they did so, as Republicans gaveled out this week, by being rude and crude, a bad attitude, even more so than we originally thought. We'll talk about the dirty little trick that they played to close out the session coming up. Then in our second hour, Kristen Lyerly will have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, and we're talking to Ann Rowe, who will be a candidate for assembly in one of the newly drawn districts in the Janesville area. We'll have our forecast from Brittany Merlot. We'll have a preview of what else you can find on Civic Media from Luke Mathers. All that coming up on this Thursday morning. 6 o'clock temperatures on this Thursday morning look like this. It's 44 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 34 in Hayward. Park Falls reports 35 degrees. The folks listening to Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, you're at 41 right now. Green Bay, 42. La Crosse, way up to 53 already. Wisconsin Rapids at 45. Oshkosh reporting 42 degrees. Madison, 47. And in Waukesha, where we find Mr. Bach, it is 43 degrees, who on his drive up tried to do the right thing with President Biden in the Milwaukee area. And so I congratulate you for, first off, being aware that you weren't like late and went, how could this happen? And blah, blah, blah. You actually did your homework ahead of time to make sure you could have an easy commute to work. Of course, it was all for nothing, but you did the work.
Boy, your words are of upholding are so nice. Thanks.
You researched the routes.
Well, I mean, it wasn't actually so to clear the story. It wasn't for President Biden. It was for this morning. They were doing construction and they said they were going to be closing the lane or closing, you know, last night I came home and there was 4 miles of traffic going down the road with people heading northbound on 94. I'm like, oh, that's right. They're going to be closing down tomorrow morning and I don't want to be late. So I'll take a completely different route and just, you know, go out of the way, but I'll be here on time. And then when I pass the route, I'm like, oh, it wasn't closed at all.
Oh, no.
But that's fine. No. You know what, though? Here's the thing is, that's fine. I'm got here on time.
Yep.
I better be safe than sorry. And we're good.
And you reminded me to remind folks that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's 511 app is even better than it used to be. It was already good enough when you just had like red or green or blue, you know, marked on the roads when things were bad. But they've kind of given themselves an upgrade.
Absolutely. They added cameras. You can look at camera footage to see where it's slowing down, where it's stopped, all that kinds of things. At 3:30 in the morning, my eyes weren't open enough to really just, I was just like, I'm just going to go take 32 up. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So now you know. And yeah, I started this entire story with a falsehood, falsely assuming that Mr. Bach was doing all this because he wanted to avoid presidential traffic jams.
But Pat Kreitlow doesn't tell the truth.
Pat Kreitlow corrects his errors in a timely fashion. So let's switch back to Pi Day here.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite pie?
So I love a like a strawberry rhubarb pie. It's just got that.
Okay. Rhubarb? Really?
Yeah.
You're trashing coconut, but you're talking up a weed like rhubarb?
Okay. Well, first of all,
see how high my voice got? I clearly feel strongly because my voice went up here. But rhubarb? Really?
I'm gonna quote Bon Jovi. It's my life. So, yeah, I like the sweetness of the strawberry and the tart of the rhubarb. And it's very, very tasty with a dollop of cream on top. Now, I put in the chat because I wasn't sure when we get to it. I don't have a deep knowledge of pies. Like, I don't go around tasting all the pies to be like, oh, this is the best one. But the best pie I've ever had is from Osseo, Wisconsin at Norsk's Nook.
Of course, the Norsky Nook in Osseo, which also has a location in Rice Lake that we frequent now and then. Oh, yeah. I mean, Norsky Nook is a must. It's so many different varieties. Mm-hmm. I will say that my top three would be French silk, if you're going for chocolate.
That's a good one. That's very, very decadent.
Yeah. Cherry, if you're going for fruit. Mm-hmm. Love a good cherry pie, especially with some ice cream. And then pumpkin is one of my favorites as well, even though I am quick to acknowledge it's not actually pumpkin. It's got a little bit of pumpkin and a whole bunch of other secret ingredients.
Go on.
Yes.
I was going to say, what is your thought on, well, first of all, sweet potato pie, heavily underrated in my opinion, very, very tasty. But also, what are your thoughts on key lime and or lemon meringue, specifically the meringue? My mother hates meringue. Like, it's like with me with coconut. She goes, no.
No, I haven't had a lemon meringue pie in forever, but I like it.
Yeah.
What was the key lime?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, things that are a little bit tart.
Yeah.
Now lemon doesn't count because anything with lemon, they throw enough sugar in it to drop a horse. So I wouldn't push key lime pie away. It just wouldn't be one of the first things that I would necessarily, gravitate toward.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the meringue, I also think of I kid about the coconut cream, but banana cream is where you're on banana cream pie.
Very, very good. Very, very good stuff. Okay. I like banana. There. Bananas, banana cream, banana bread.
Look what we've done to ourselves. We've made ourselves ravenously hungry for pie at 6:14 in the morning.
That's fine. I mean,
good work out of us.
If you ever do go to the Norsky Nook, is it Norsk Nook or Norsky? Is it Norsky?
Norsky.
Oh, it is Norsky. Okay. You go to the Norsky Nook and you get a pie. Just prepare yourself for when they hand you the pie. It will be about 2 to 3 pounds heavier than you expect. Your hand will go down and be like, oh, that's a heavy pie, because those are made with so much love.
They are. They're just full of love. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Hey, remember we were saying at the end of the last baseball season that it looked like all the TV stuff was going to get maybe shifted to streaming, like maybe Amazon Prime or something like that?
Yeah.
News came out yesterday. Everybody can breathe easier for at least this season again.
Okay.
Nearly all the Brewers games will still be on Bally Sports.
Oh, great.
So if you get Bally Sports one way or another, that is not good news for you.
I just don't want to subscribe to another thing.
Oh, because you don't have cable with Bally Sports on there.
I don't. Right? I have every streaming network ever.
Oh, so it's
I have Tubi. I have Tubi?
Why do you have Tubi?
I don't know. That's
what one show. It's like HBO. I don't watch HBO. I haven't watched HBO since Game of Thrones ended. And yeah,
I'll give you a list of good shows on the HBO or HBO Max, whatever you want to call it. I did like, though, that I could watch it on Apple. I could watch some baseball on Apple TV Plus. You could watch it, like you said, on Amazon. I can't see every Brewers game. What I like, though, the Bucks, they're on local network now, which is amazing.
Yes. Going back to their roots, the way it should be with local sports.
Yes.
Local sports should be on local TV.
Correct.
So, yes. Now, I will say Apple TV, again, it's a hassle.
Yeah.
But, boy, their video quality is, and the different things they do with graphics, they do a great job.
Yeah.
It's just that if you're not an Apple subscriber, then, you know, what good does it do you? But let's see, there will be Apple TV games, two of them, April 12th, Brewers at Baltimore, and May 24th, Brewers at Boston. And then they will be part of a national Fox Game of the Week. Let's see, one in May against the Cardinals, June the Padres, July the Dodgers, August against the Guardians, and late August against Cincinnati. But other than that, the games will be on Bally Sports going forward. So good news for some of us, bad news for some of us.
I'll look up Bally's and see how much it is.
But hey, 2 weeks from today, season opener. 2 weeks from today.
I know. I really want to go. I'm really happy it's not against the Cubs, and that has nothing to do with the Craig Council. I just don't. Opening day games against the Cubs are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're crazy anyway. And the home opener for the Brewers will be Tuesday, April 2nd, which is also Election Day,
yes, sir.
Coincidentally. But, yeah, April 2nd against the Twins over at American Family Field. So we are getting that much closer to it. So,
heck yeah.
Yeah. So now that we've made it to this hour of the day, 6:17, let's pop up a few more sports headlines here. Let's see. We've told you about the Brewers, and actually the Brewers will be on a couple of Civic Media stations this weekend for spring training games. I'll tell you about that tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Bucks, they will host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. You can catch the game on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger men's basketball team will play in the Big Ten tournament at Target Center in Minneapolis. The Badgers are the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they will take on 12 seed Maryland in an early afternoon matchup. You can catch the game today on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, and WRJN in Racine. The Big East Conference tournament is underway at Madison Square Garden, and Marquette, the men's basketball team, will have a quarterfinal game tonight, 8:30, against Villanova, and that game will be televised on FS1. And the Badger women's hockey team will be in the NCAA tournament Saturday afternoon for a chance to advance to the Frozen Four. So there's a few sports updates for you as we inch closer to baseball season and we inch closer to a conversation with Joe Zepecki. But first, we'll unpack more of the news on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ingram, but on the charts, it's a song by Quincy Jones as the producer. The super producer has a milestone birthday today, and we'll tell you about that in today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour. Again, our question of the day on this National Pie Day, what's your favorite pie flavor? And who makes the best pies in town? Might be a cafe, might be a chain, might be your mother-in-law. You give us a text at 855-75-CIVIC and give a shout-out to somebody that you think is worthy of being recognized on this National Pie Day. The Up North News daily newsletter is available on our website. Head to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for it. We'd love to have you as one of our newest subscribers. In today's newsletter, Christina Laurie puts up a post that will be familiar to those of us in the Chippewa Valley. But if you've only been an occasional visitor to Eau Claire, you might sometimes wonder why, alongside what used to be the Uniroyal Tire Plant, now known as Banbury Place, why is there a giant bird sculpture made of trash just standing there in the middle of the business district? It has quite the history, and you can read about that in our newsletter today. Over on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, there is a story about shrinkflation, and Senator Tammy Baldwin introducing a bill that is designed to address shrinkflation as a deceptive business practice. And that gets me to a story that I'll probably talk about again tomorrow with Mark Jacob, because it also deals a bit with journalism when we're talking about inflation. There was a story making the rounds yesterday that I believe it was the Dollar Store, one of the Dollar Store, Dollar Tree chains was going to be closing something like $1,000 general stores. And they're blaming inflation. And all the news reports just, you know, dutifully, in just a true example of stenography, said, yep, it's inflation. And, oh, you know, what's President Biden going to do about this? I wonder if it ever occurred to them that if inflation were really that big of a problem, it would be hitting, you know, Walmart, Target, things like that, as more people go to these dollar stores. Maybe, hear me out here, maybe there were just some bad business decisions made because those stores are popping up like literal weeds all across America, and they would not be the first or the 10th or the 100th business that overbuilt, that overextended themselves, and then had to rein things back in because they weren't making enough money to cover costs from all the expansion. I'm not saying there's not inflation, but inflation has also come under immense control compared to a year and 2 years ago. So to just be blaming that is one thing, and for reporters to just simply take them at their word tells me there's still a lot of work that's got to be done when it comes to our reporting corps. I mean, doing their due diligence. I mean, look at that State of the Union response from Katie Brill, the senator from Alabama, last week. While all the other networks were talking about the speeches and talking about her, one reporter was actually fact-checking what she had to say and was the first to break the story that the story she was telling about sexual exploitation among migrants and things, she got almost everything about the story wrong. She had just enough of it right to scare people, but again, reporters weren't doing their due diligence. And I will say again, the old saying, a reporter's job, the media's job, is not to tell you, well, he says it's raining and she says it's sunny. The reporter's job is to open up the window and tell you if it's raining or sunny, tell you who is telling you the truth and who is not. It takes a little extra work than stenography, but we need more media sites to be able to and willing to do that. On our social media site, if you know anything about Christina Lurie and her appearances here, being based in Dane County, she loves the Dane County Farmers Market, and it opens up in a month, which means many other Wisconsin farmers markets will be opening soon as well. And she asks, what you buying first? What's the first thing you're looking forward to buying when the farmers markets kind of come back into business here over the next few weeks or so? Let's find out what you think as well. Head over to that social media post or you know, reach out to us here at 855-75-CIVIC. All right, President Biden was in Milwaukee yesterday, again this morning, before he heads out to Michigan, kind of shoring up what folks refer to as the blue wall, which would be, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, for a Democrat to win. I should say, for a Republican to win, they need to crack that wall, as Trump did in Wisconsin in 2016. And so President Biden has been here several times already and came here again this time around to announce some $3 billion in infrastructure projects in disadvantaged communities, including $36 million for parts of central Milwaukee 6th Street, which had been divided by highway construction in the 1960s. Now, again, I feel very fortunate that I've lived in or worked in so many parts of Wisconsin. I've lived in smaller cities like Rice Lake and here in Chippewa Falls. I went to school in Eau Claire. I lived in Milwaukee for a time, lived in Madison for a time, have worked all over northern Wisconsin as a reporter and as a candidate. So when I say that there's something that's going to improve 6th Street in Milwaukee, I know automatically, there are folks who have never gone to Milwaukee. They're never going to go. And they're like, what? Why are we doing that? Why are we sending money to Milwaukee? Well, I'm sure Milwaukeeans think the same thing when they hear about, you know, money that's being spent in other areas. I'm just here to tell you, whether you're a regular to Milwaukee or not, this is a good deal. Because, again, so many of our nation's cities were divided when they carved these freeways through. And I understand why. But it left these neighborhoods, you know, disconnected. It turned them into islands, which then allowed them to become blighted. And so it's a good thing that you're taking, in this case, 6th Street, which is an excellent choice, and rebuilding that into something with a more modern configuration where you have less likelihood of being lost. and less of a tendency to try to go 90 miles an hour because of the way that they're going to, you know, newly construct the street, which will make it more friendly for pedestrians, for small businesses, and things like that. So this is, these are good things that are coming from the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And again, there's things from that bill in probably every Wisconsin county by now. And if not, then real close. And that's the kind of reinvestment that works with our tax dollars, not simply giving tax breaks to the very rich and hoping that it all trickles down. The president did make some infrastructure jokes at Donald Trump's expense. Trump all the time talked about infrastructure week, that it was coming, a big, beautiful infrastructure bill was going to be unveiled. And as Biden pointed out yesterday, quote, he didn't get a single thing done, not one. And again, that's one of those things that will still just absolutely mystify me about the Trump administration is how did you not think that that was something that needed to be a priority? I'm sure we'll be talking about a couple of things involving U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde over the coming days here. There was a political report late yesterday, for example, noting that Hovde, who is a California-based banker, has invested tens of millions of dollars in insurance companies that operated in the U.S., but they had their headquarters in Bermuda to avoid paying corporate taxes. It's the kind of thing that Hovde had disclosed during his unsuccessful Senate run in 2012, but Hovde Capital now has so much more invested in it that although he does talk about the need for a minimum corporate tax, his practices will tell you otherwise in the way that he is using overseas financial havens to avoid the taxes that you and I otherwise would have to pay. We'll talk more about This Week in Politics with Joe Sepecki coming up next here on Up North News Radio. If you care, buy some moonlight to wear. We are back at 6:34 on Up North News Radio, and if it's Thursday, it's Joe Sepecki. I'm sorry, motivational speaker Joe Sepecki joins us now.
Yeah. If you need motivation, you've come to the wrong place, my friend.
No, you were just telling you were speaking at a banquet, because I know you coach some little guys who play basketball, and they were it sounds like they are very appreciative of your end of season remarks.
I spoke.
So you've got that going for you.
I spoke at the basketball banquet like the football coach I am. We'll put it that way.
Well, we appreciate having you here and getting your, oh God, Joe, I was going to say wisdom, but honestly, when we're talking about this legislature, wisdom is setting a rather high bar here.
It really
and
is.
Here's the thing. When you talk about the more than 20 appointees that Republicans in the state Senate fired just cause, not for just cause, but just cause, and in some cases wouldn't even refuse to offer a reason. People keep asking me, like, what's that about? And I say, corrupt is the only word I can put out there. Not that it puts money in their pockets or anything, but to be that petty and disrespectful of norms, I don't have a better adjective for it. Maybe you have one that you can share on the radio?
Pettiness for pettiness' sake. There is no reason or upshot for a lot of these. Listen, some of these are high-profile, very important boards that have really serious roles to play. For example, the UW Regents. Dana Walks and John Miller are more than qualified to be UW regents.
Right.
That's a real loss for the university system. And candidly, some of these boards and positions are not the be-all, end-all. They're unpaid, they're volunteer, they're advisory committees. Republicans are doing this because they can, because they don't like the fact that the governor won, not one, but two elections. And this is a way that they can be petty and mean and perpetuate a narrative that their side feels like is their only hope, which is to lie about the role that Democrats have in a free society, which is they want you to believe that Democrats will destroy this country and this state. They're wrong, of course, there are different ideas about how to move forward and build a shared prosperity. But they don't have ideas, so they have to create villains. And anybody who apparently has ever crossed paths with Tony Evers is therefore guilty by association and subject to firing at the whims of the Great Council of Republican Elders. I mean, it's just, it's like batty and goofy and crazy, and even people who were referred out of committee with bipartisan votes being voted down. Like, what are we doing here? It's just stupid.
It is. There you get it. The very last word, stupid. That's what it is. I've gone with corrupt. You go with stupid. I think we're both right. You know, one of the ways that they get to extend their argument that, you know, that there are these boogeymen out there is in their refusal to pass a bill that would have allowed absentee ballots to be counted starting the day before Election Day. And I mean, we both know that that was on purpose. They can continue to perpetuate the conspiracy that when larger cities don't get their votes counted until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, there must be something nefarious about it. The solution was right in front of them, and they chose, with everybody watching them, to say, nope, we'd rather keep lying.
Are you a Batman fan, Pat Kreitlow?
A little bit, yeah.
Have you seen The Dark Knight Rises, the third in the Christopher Nolan trilogy?
Probably.
Michael Caine, in the role of Alfred, is sharing a long story that I won't retell in full here to Bruce Wayne to try to help him understand what's happening. And the answer is, and I'm sorry, it wasn't The Dark Knight Rises, it's The Dark Knight. And the answer is, some men just want to watch the world burn. This is the Republican Party in 2024. They know what to do. They know the right thing to do. There are lots of Republicans urging them to do the right thing. Rick Essenberg from Will is like, guys, this isn't tough. Pass the bill. Let them process the ballots on Monday. And instead, elected Republicans are making a choice. And it's not even all the elected Republicans, again, to be clear, because if this came to the floor, it would pass with many Republicans and some Democrats. But the Republicans in leadership are going, nope, not going to do it. And they get to just shut it down and choose chaos. They can choose to try and continue burning it all down. And so to everybody who is frustrated and mad at the shape of the world and how bad things are going, and by the way, you're wrong. Things are not all that bad. Things are good and getting better, especially compared to where we were 4 years ago this week, he reminded listeners who survived a global pandemic, right? Like, they are making choices, and the choice they are making is chaos. And it just furthers what they want you to believe, which is that everything is terrible. And they're the ones who are making the choices that make the things they're telling you are terrible, terrible. It's enough to drive a guy insane.
It's not just the bills that they chose not to pass, but the bills that they did choose to pass, like this transgender sports ban in schools, which, again, I feel like it fits right into what you just said. Continue the chaos, continue the diversions to take away from the fact that there aren't any actual ideas they're willing to implement to make lives better for people.
They want you, they, Republicans, who are making these choices, want you scared. They want you afraid. And they want you feeling that way because they think that benefits them politically. It is just a state version of what we have seen nationally. They don't want a solution to the border problem. One was presented to them that was negotiated by one of the most conservative Republicans in the U.S. Senate that gave away the store in terms of what Democrats have been asking for generations. For more than 20 years, Democrats said any immigration legislation, you got to provide a pathway to citizenship, and you got to make sure dreamers who were brought here as kids can stay and get right with the law. Democrats said, we will do this deal without those two provisions. And Republicans, led by Donald Trump, the chaos agent in chief, said, no deal, because we would rather make people afraid, make people scared, because we think that will benefit us politically.
I would love for the day to come when you can again have probably some newly elected Republican lawmakers who would stand up and say, you know, we are not for this. We want to change the direction that we're going in. And some folks who don't pay attention might have thought that that's what's happening in this move to have a recall election for Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Nay, nay. It was not a newly empowered group of moderate Republicans saying we don't want Robin Voss as our speaker anymore. It was people who somehow got to the right of Robin Voss and said he's a rhino, he's got to go. But it looks like they're going to fail in their effort to have a recall election.
Of course they're going to fail. They were always going to fail. And the unfortunate part of that is that it means that once again, a powerful Republican who has made choices with full information and who is a perfectly smart, intelligent human being is going to avoid any consequences or availability for their own actions and their own choices. Robin Voss does not have a clean sheet when it comes to the big lie. He did not need to hire Michael Gableman. He did not need to give that man more than $1 million in taxpayer monies with which to rove around the state, you know, flipping over couch cushions, looking for ballots that weren't there. He created this monster, to mix the metaphor, and it got out of the lab and it came for him. But he has managed once again to avoid any consequences for that. The only way to turn things around within the Republican Party is for voters to be the ones who deliver the consequences. And I don't mean the merry band of voters who took out these petitions and maybe forged some signatures and set back the, like, you know, the efforts that have been made in the name of the sanctity of our elections in the last couple of years. I don't mean them. I mean we the people royally, that whether you live in Northeast Wisconsin, Northwest Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin, Superior Wisconsin, or Kenosha, you name it, we have to send a message to these Republican clowns that this behavior cannot be tolerated. The choices they're making cannot be tolerated if we want our democracy to work. And the way to do that is to vote the bums out.
And to do that in an especially competitive state like Wisconsin is going to take, basically 24/7 attention from now until November 5th. And we've talked before about how the Biden campaign appears to be doing that already. And this week marked another presidential visit to the state of Wisconsin for
a sleepover.
For a president who's, feeling pretty good after not only a feisty State of the Union address, but a response for the ages. And that's saying something when you look at all the Republican responses to State of the Union addresses. It's been a good, week and change for Joe Biden.
No question. He was certainly helped by Republicans who created a narrative that didn't match reality. But then they become captive to it and actually believe their own stuff, shall we say, that they want you to believe Joe Biden is taking his meals through a straw or, drooling in his soup. He's not, folks. He's up to the job. And that's what he showed the American people in the State of the Union. It's what he's demonstrating in his visit to Wisconsin and later today, Michigan. And the contrast with the picture that Republicans painted and a president of the United States going toe-to-toe with the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene and making Lindsey Graham bust up laughing and making a clear, compelling, optimistic vision for the future of this country, which stands in such stark contrast to its midnight in America and Donald Trump, who doesn't let a day go by without down-talking this country and wanting you to believe everything's terrible. This is the choice, folks. Joe Biden believes our best days are ahead of us. Donald Trump thinks our best days are behind us. We're going to find out which one of those stories that they're telling is more resonant with the American people. I know where I stand in that, and I have a pretty good feeling where most of your listeners do, too.
Last one is the state Supreme Court is going to, with its new progressive majority, take up the case of whether drop boxes for absentee ballots can come back in Wisconsin, something that conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley was very unhappy about, saying that the progressive justices were, playing politics with this issue. Sure seems to me like Justice Bradley and others on the conservative side were the ones playing politics 2 years ago on this.
Now, and that was the same argument she made against the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade, right? She didn't think that any previous decision by any court should ever be relitigated, reopened, or reconsidered by a different group of judges. Oh, no.
No, she would never.
Yeah. The sarcasm is tough on the radio. I hope everybody got that. But
I think they did.
Yeah. Listen, the drop boxes are convenient. They make voting easier. They are safe and secure. Any way that we can encourage more people to safely and securely cast a ballot, we should look at. You know, I want to tip my hat to Tammy Baldwin, who last week reintroduced the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Acts with her Senate colleagues. Joe Biden shouted that piece of legislation out in the State of the Union because these are two bills that would strengthen our elections, that would restore some of the faith in our democracy that has been undermined by the big lie and the choices that continue to be made by Republicans. And so if you want to know who's fighting for democracy, it's Tammy Baldwin. You want to know how she's doing it? It's those two bills. You want to know what you can do? Is in this April election, you can vote no on the two constitutional amendments that would make it even harder to fund and administer our elections. These are statewide ballot questions. There's the only, I believe they're the only two of them. Vote no on those. Fight for our democracy. It's worth fighting for, and it has delivered the greatest country in the history of the world. That's where we live, folks, with the strongest economy right now. And we should not be afraid to say that.
And let's make a note here, because we have not talked much about the constitutional amendments. We had Deborah Kronmiller on from the League of Women Voters a couple of weeks back explaining why they weren't a good idea. So let's pick that up next week and talk a bit more about those Republican initiatives on their attempt to amend the state constitution. That and so much more yet to come with one Joe Sopecki. Joe, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Talk to you next week.
Back in just a bit. You're up north.
I'm tired of hugging my pillow at night. This show don't kiss as good as you do. And all them pictures you gave me. Never looks won't move at all.
Here, that's right. All right, here we go. Leslie Gore. Usually that means Dr. Kristen Lierley is here, and we're going to talk about women in healthcare. Well, Dr. Lierley is here, but we're playing it because it's Quincy Jones' birthday. Super producer Quincy Jones is 90 years old today. Let's see if we can stop Dr. Lierley's lip syncing long enough.
Having a moment
to acknowledge this. I know she is.
This is one of my very favorite songs. And when I found out that Quincy Jones produced the song, that was like two worlds coming together for me.
One of Quincy's, I don't want to say big breaks, but it was one of his first major label artists to work with after years and years of working other bands and producing things. But Leslie Gore was kind of like the launching pad into pop music. Took him to Frank Sinatra, to Michael Jackson, to so many places. So again, Quincy Jones, 90 years old today. Dr. Lierley is doing a little locums work somewhere up north, up on the Iron Range, I believe. Things going well up there?
Yep, you betcha. Right.
Yeah, you betcha.
Are you turning into a Minnesotan right before our very eyes? What are they feeding you up there?
Wild rice on pizza.
Wild rice on pizza. With a lot of mushrooms, it looked like.
It was a ton of mushrooms. Yes, and I was drinking a beer called Flying Ninja Monkeys in Judy Garland's hometown of Grand Rapids.
What kind of beer was this?
Moment. It was a brown IPA.
Okay.
Black IPA.
That sounds tasty.
It was good.
That sounds like something I pour down the sink to unclog the drains. Yeah.
My gosh, Patrick.
What?
Just so close-minded. You don't like the other thing.
I'm sorry, Mister. I don't like coconut cookies.
Coconut is disgusting. It's the enemy of the people and a war crime. That's not up for debate.
Hops and beer.
Coconut is absolutely
gross.
Exactly. Thank you, Napoleon.
There is somebody else who turns 90 today. Sir Michael Caine.
One of really?
My favorite actors is 90 years old today. Yes.
Love Michael Caine.
Yep, love that Cockney accent. He's been in more than 160 films. And anybody, there's those lines that people use if you're trying to do an impression of somebody. Nobody does an impression or tries to do an impression of Michael Caine without one of his more favorite movie lines here.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
That's where you start. I'm not even going
to
try it today.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Michael Martin Murphy is 78 years old today. Country singer, songwriter, born in Dallas, and had this uniquely 70s hit.
She ran calling.
Oh, God.
She ran calling.
Oh, I love this song so much. She ran calling.
Rick just turned into a puddle in the studio.
Yes, I did. I was not expecting that.
I remember this song from when I was a little kid. I love this song so much.
Oh, that's funny.
Did it make you want a pony?
No.
You know what it did for me? It made me want to go into editing other people's songwriting lyrics. Because he's got two things backward in there. An early snow isn't what's going to kill your crops. It's going to be the frost. And then in the first verse where he says frost, that should be the early snow. If you know the song, you know. If you know.
You're kind of maybe overthinking it.
Welcome to another episode of Pat Kreitlow Kills Imagery and the beautiful things there in songs.
Pat Kreitlow overthinks lyrics.
Coming out on a podcast that no one will subscribe to.
Focus on just singing it and don't think about what you're singing.
Come on, Pat.
The simple things.
I was just trying to do some math because I didn't calculate how old Rick Dees is today.
Oh, my gosh.
A longtime DJ and countdown host Rick Dees is 74 years old today. Yeah. Do you like your Ben & Jerry's ice cream?
Always. Mm-hmm.
Because the Jerry of Ben & Jerry's, Jerry Greenfield, is 73 years old today. And somebody who was one of our newest friends and now is leaving us, what? Simone Biles,
is
27 today. Happy birthday, Simone Biles. You turned 27, and now you're a Bears fan because your husband is now with the Chicago Bears.
I got one thing to say to that, and that's simply...
Gross. The number one song this day in 1987 was by Huey Lewis and the News. On this day in 1981, Eric Clapton toughed out a concert in Madison, but he was in severe pain. He was flown to the Twin Cities and treated for severe ulcers that nearly killed him. The rest of the tour was canceled. Clapton spent 6 weeks in the hospital recovering, and then a few months later returned to Minnesota to enter rehab to treat the alcohol addiction that caused his ulcers.
Yeah.
And it was a show in Madison that put him over the edge and said, I can't live like this anymore.
That's classic. What happens when you use alcohol to treat your heroin addiction.
I've never seen that in any of the medical journals, Dr. Lyerly. Have you?
Listen up, kids. Age advice from Greg right now.
You want to get off the horse? Get yourself some black IPA.
Public service announcement with Greg Bach appears later today on Matt and Air on Air. All right. If you've ever wondered, just a little music trivia, if you ever wonder about when they talk about gold records or something is certified gold, the first official designation of that happened this day in 1958 when the Recording Industry Association of America issued their first gold single for sales of 1 million copies. And Kristen, I can't imagine if I gave you a year, you could guess who the singer was that had the first gold record.
1958. I'm just trying to figure out what a record is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shut up.
Sit down. Now, just for that, you get to listen to Perry Como and the song that was the first gold record.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Poor Greg.
Catch a falling star.
Just never know what's
coming
up with this
song.
Save it for a rainy day. The very first official gold record this day in 1958. And on this day 3 years ago at the Grammy Awards, Beyonce took 4 awards, making her the most awarded woman in Grammy history. Her 28 trophies, surpassing Alison Krauss's 27. Since that time, Beyonce has won 4 more to give her 32, more than any other woman or man. Most Grammys ever for Beyonce.
Genius.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Innovative.
Lemonade should have still won Record of the Year. Album of the Year.
We have an assembly candidate from the Janesville area on Women Win Wisconsin in our next hour.
We do. We have Ann Rowe joining us. That's going to be a great conversation. She is quite a lady.
And coming up next, State Senator Jeff Smith will help us tie a bow on a once again, a legislative session that ended before it could even pretend to become an effective one for the people of Wisconsin. But we'll review some of the things that were done and not done. All ahead, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're up next.
Catch a falling star and pull.